flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do? Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What's up, world? Great to be with you. I am Rob Brown. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, this and every day, the great one Lonzo is here as well. And we are super stoked to have you, dudes and dudettes. Glad to have you along for the ride, having some fun on the radio program today. We've got a lot we need to get into over the course of the show. This hour of the show, we're going to do your water cooler cheat sheet here in just mere moments from now. And then we're going to spend the remainder of the hour talking AFC and NFC championship games, because they are both this weekend. And by the time we all return to you on Monday for a very long stretch of weeks where we have to work all 5 days, which is very disappointing. Very disappointing. I got to tell you, that little blitz of weeks where we were working like four days a week for like most of them, pretty solid.
Also, we're going to have to wait 2 weeks for a football game. You know, people are just going to lose interest.
We do have to talk about the ratings for the national championship game because they were down like 12%.
I like how you wrote the story and skewed it a certain way. So, you know, I wasn't going to partake in your propaganda.
How did I skew it?
You skewed it.
Yay!
All right, that does count.
3-2.
Yeah.
I still got ground to make up. Yeah. Still got ground to make up.
Stinking arthritic fingers.
We are actually going to get to that, the college football championship game, down 12% in ratings. And the reason we're going to get to that is because of something that we talked about earlier this week, that my Saturday co-host Cody Decker and his co-host on Beadle and Decker, Michelle Beadle, both of them were saying like, oh, you waited 11 days and it's in the middle of the NFL season and I've lost interest. And I was like, it sounds like a you problem. Doesn't sound like an America problem. It sounds like a you specifically problem. Maybe it was a bit of an America problem because the ratings were down 12%. And there are effectively two reasons that are getting batted back and forth right now. Reason number one is Ohio State and Notre Dame are, while two of the largest fan bases in America, also two of the most disliked teams in America.
I know people probably may not have, I mean, some people may not have noticed there was a lot of stuff going on that day also, and maybe that has something to do with it.
We are going to get to all of that when we get to that coming up a little bit later on in the radio broadcast, because I do think there is something to that. I also do think perhaps Beadle and Decker had a bit of a point. I do also think that via some of the comments that I was reading yesterday when I was perusing some of the news conglomeration sites that I peruse when I am doing show prep, there were a couple of reasons for this. And I want to get into that to see if that is something that could be. And the reason, why is this a big deal, Rob? Who cares? The answer is very simple. It's because we're going to have changes to the college football championship game format moving forward. And the question for one of them is, could they move it? And by it, I don't just mean the championship game. I mean the whole season. Could we shift the college football season as a whole forward in the calendar? Could we end up in a spot where rivalry game weekend is like a week, maybe two before Thanksgiving to fit in more games in the postseason? We'll talk about that coming up later on in the show. But it is 7:04 in the a.m. portion of the day. You have less than 56 minutes until you've got to get to the office and start working on a Friday. Well, guess what, people? We're here for you. You're going to need to talk about sports. You're going to want to talk about sports. And if that is the case, don't you worry. We got you covered because we do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday morning and start talking sports with your friends, family, coworkers, loved ones, the dog, whoever you might work around. This is what you'll talk about. Let us begin with item number one. Your National Football League Most Valuable Player finalists have been announced. The winners will be announced at the NFL Hall of Fame Honors Celebration on February 6th after a nationwide panel of 50 media members who regularly cover the league complete voting on it in alphabetical order. In order to eliminate potential bias or spoiler alerts, your MVP candidates are Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, helped the Bills win their fifth consecutive AFC East title, threw for 3,731 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 picks for a 101.4 passer rating. Allen also ran for 531 yards and 12 scores. From the Philadelphia Eagles, running back Saquon Barkley ran for 2,005 yards, the 8th best total in NFL history, and that does include sitting out Philly's regular season finale, in which he needed only 101 yards to break Eric Dickerson single season record. Barkley also helped the Eagles win the NFC East and advance to the conference championship game. Joe Burrow is an MVP finalist, led the NFL with a career high 4,918 yards passing and 43 touchdowns. That is, and I've done the math, a lot of touchdowns. Bengals, of course, finished 9-8 and missed the playoffs. Jared Goff is an NFL MVP finalist, 4,629 yards, 37 touchdowns to 9 picks, and led Detroit to the number one seed in the NFC. Of course, the Lions were eliminated in the divisional round game by the Washington Commanders. And Lamar Jackson, the reigning, defending, somewhat disputed MVP, is seeking his third MVP after leading the Ravens to the AFC North title, a career-high 4,172 passing yards, 41 touchdowns, to just 4 picks. By the way, of course, he would go on to throw a lot more turnovers in the exit of the Ravens to the Buffalo Bills. A 119.6 passer rating, which led the NFL. He was a first-team All-Pro for the third time, ran for 915 yards and 4 touchdowns before the Ravens were eliminated by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's winning this award.
According to script, yes.
Not according to script.
Yeah, according to script.
According to the fact that my dude did it without wide receivers except for a rook for about 6 weeks.
Patrick Mahomes has been doing that for years, supposedly. The scripts, I mean, your secret society has already let you know that that's going to happen. That's how you're able to talk about it with confidence because you already know because you know the script.
It's in the secret text message.
For sure.
You're not invited.
That's fine.
You're not invited.
This is fine, but I am outing the secret society, which means days are numbered, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Josh Allen's winning this MVP. Your Offensive Player of the Year awards come down to Barkley Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson. Your Defensive Player of the Year award finalists are Eagles linebacker Zach Bond, Myles Garrett, the All-Pro edge rusher from Cleveland, Bengals All-Pro edge rusher Trey Hendrickson, Broncos All-Pro quarterback Pat Surtain II, and Steelers edge rusher T.J. Watt. As a personal and very selfish note here, two of these guys are former New Orleans Saints that we just let go. Two of them. Trey Hendrickson and Zach Bond should both be Saints right now.
Is certified hater mode activated?
Yeah, for Mickey Loomis.
Not for the players.
Got the bag.
They left your team, though.
Do you know what Zach Bond... No, I'm not Rashad. We're going to fight on that. You know what Zach Bond's contract with the Eagles is? $3.5 million a year. Mickey Loomis couldn't find $3.5 million a year to pay this man. This man is a Defensive Player of the Year finalist. We couldn't find $3.5 million.
He's talked about for years about how far over the cap they are. No, he couldn't find that money.
$3.5 million. You know what we're playing? Cameron Jordan, the 34-year-old, who I love... One of my favorite Saints of all time. I'll buy his jersey the day he retires. You know what we're paying him? Like $24 million a year. At 34 years of age, he had like 2 sacks this year. Zach Bond's a Defensive Player of the Year, $3.5 million. We couldn't figure it out. That's just me being a whiny butt. Let's go to item number 2. If you are following the Aussie, oi, that could have done it better, could have done it worse. The Australian Open is going down right now, 24. Do the Booker T thing for Novak Djokovic. 24 time. I can't. Grand Slam champion Novak Djokovic just straight up left his Australian Open semifinal match against Alexander Zverev. It's a Z and a V next to each other. That's impossible.
You sound Zverev. Really certain about that pronunciation.
No, it is. It's one of those things that I can say it correctly in my head, but like to make the lips and the tongue get it all together in one go is kind of tough.
You said Zverev?
Zverev.
Zverev. Are you sure to go Z before this?
Zverev.
Yeah, okay.
That guy, Djokovic, walked away from the match. An 81-minute first set ended in a tiebreak, and as they were getting ready for that tiebreak, Djokovic walked up to the net with heavy strapping on his left thigh and shook the hand of the world number 2, conceding the match and moving Alexander into Sunday's final. The crowd openly booed Novak Djokovic as he headed for the exit. He responded by flashing 2 thumbs up and saying, quote, I did everything I possibly could to manage the muscle tear that I had. Medications and the strap and the physio work helped to some extent today, but towards the end of that first set, I just started feeling more and more pain. It was just getting worse and worse. It was just too much to handle for me at the moment. I knew even if I won the first set, it was going to be a huge uphill battle for me to stay physically fit enough to stay with him in the rallies for another, God knows, 2, 3, 4 hours. I don't think I had that, unfortunately, today in the tank. Unfortunate ending, but I tried.
Are you implying he's soft?
No, I'm not. I've never had a muscle tear.
Yeah, sounds painful.
I've never had a muscle tear, but one time I did have a boo-boo on my knee, and it knocked me out for like 3 weeks. So I get it, Novak. Zverev will play in his first Aussie Open final against defending champion Jannik Sinner after the dub. Zverev did classy say, the very first thing I want to say is, please guys, don't boo a player when he goes out with an injury. I know that everybody paid for tickets and wants to see hopefully a 5-set match. He has won this tournament with an abdominal tear. You know, it's like a tear, but it's big and furry and heads out in the woods.
Has no teeth.
I am fighting for my life today. An abdominal tear, won this tournament with a hamstring injury. So please show some respect. That's classy move.
You still didn't do it. I know you think you did, but it's
abdominal tear.
There we go.
I said it.
There we go.
An abdominal. Item number 3. I'm out of patience, and I don't know what for right now.
It's my fault. I'll stop.
I don't know what I'm out of patience for. Yes. I'm just out. My empathy meter is at a zero.
It's your tiny laptop.
It's not helping. It's not helping. I might as well just read these stories off my phone at this point. LeBron James has extended his all-time most all-star selections record to 21, named amongst the five starters for the Western Conference on the NBA's all-star team. James, who turned 40 less than a month ago, extended his record after surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 19 all-star selections last season. He will be joined in the Western Conference starting lineup by Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic, the NBA's reigning defending most valuable player, Phoenix Suns forward Kevin Durant, who is tied for the fourth most selections with 15. Oklahoma City Thunder guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Golden State Dubs guard Steph Curry. Over in the East, Bucks legend Giannis Antetokounmpo led all players in fan voting for a second straight season. He will be joined on the East starting five by Boston Celtics forward Jason Tatum, Cleveland Cavs guard Donovan Mitchell, New York Knicks teammates Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns in the Eastern Conference starting five. James was set to face off against Tatum and the C's late last night. When the starters were announced, the two boys walked over and had a bit of an embrace at center court for that moment. Durant, meanwhile, joins Hall of Famers Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Shaq Daddy O'Neal with 15 all-star selections, trailing only James Kareem and the late Kobe Bryant, who had 18. Nikola Jokic has earned his seventh all-star selection, having another stellar season, averaging over 30 points, 13 boards, and 9.9 assists. He is quite literally less than one assist per game off from, again, averaging a triple-double, shooting 56% overall from the field. Nikola Jokic, you know, the big Serbian dude, just wants to hang out with his horses. The job is finished. I go home now. That guy is shooting 47% from three. 47% .. from range. That's ridiculous.
Hey, can we get a series of small shorts of he and Xavier Leggett at a horse farm?
That's the buddy cop duo I've never thought about.
Yeah,
but need.
I want to see that.
The dollar bill, y'all. I like a dollar bill. He's a good horse. You know, I like dollar bill.
Hell yeah. Oh, my God. I've never wanted to see a collab more in my life. Dear social media coordinators, make it happen. Let's make it one better. Let's send him an XL over to Europe to do it. Let's send XL into Europe. Remember when he went to Germany? We got some of the greatest TV of all time with XL trying out German sausages. One of the greatest things I've ever seen on the internet. Let's do it. No drama about Gilgeous-Alexander returning to the starting lineup for a second straight season. Had a 50-point game on Wednesday against the Jazz, averaging 32, 5.5, and 6 for the Thunder, who lead the West right now. Antetokounmpo, now an all-star for the ninth time, was again the most voted for starter in the NBA at large. Six appearances now for both Tatum and Mitchell, who were widely expected to be starters alongside Antetokounmpo, as was Karl-Anthony Towns. By the way, pumped for Karl-Anthony Towns. Pumped for what he's doing with the New York Knicks. It is his fourth time as a player. First time as a starter. He has been a reserve four times. The starting lineups chosen from a hybrid voting system. 50% of the vote comes from fan ballots, 25% from the media, 25% from current players. And I'm going to tell you now, and I mean this, I despise the all-star voting system. Despise it. Fans should not have 50% of the vote. Okay? Fans should not have 50% of the vote. It should be 50. It should be more like, I don't even know how I would dress it up. 40% media, 40% current players, 20% fans at the absolute most. Because as we have established on this show many times, the Armada is full of genuine certified Class A prime ball knowers. America's not. America is full of people who don't know ball and are only in it for the glitz and the glamour and the virality of the social media clips that go around. America does not know ball. The Armada does. America does not. 20% for the fans, 40 for the media, 40 for the players. That's how the voting should go. But we'll put that aside for another segment, shall we? When we come back, let's break down the NFC Championship game. We'll do the AFC Championship game to round out the hour, and then we'll round out the hour on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, my friends. Great to have you here on the radio broadcast today. Let's talk about the NFC and the AFC Championship games coming up. On Sunday, Championship Sunday, not a better day on the football schedule, I don't think, with a ticket to the Super Bowl on the line. We can say it there because we're not promoting anything. We're just talking about it. It's the rules.
But you're kind of promoting the game, though.
You can promote the game. You just cannot promote anything that is inclining people to do anything because of the game. We can say it as long as we're talking about the game. I couldn't say, come out to our party that we're throwing. Would be bad.
We're not, by the way.
We're not, so, by the way. Yeah. I mean, not unless somebody wants to, in which case, Rob Brown's happy to come out, you know? Call one of our folks downstairs, local bar and or watering hole establishment owners, and set up a Super Bowl party. Your boy will gladly come out. Sorry, set up a party.
What if it was a family restaurant and there would be a lot of kids there?
Can I have a beer?
I don't know.
Can I have a beer? Can you? If I can have a beer, I'm in.
Wow.
I'm in.
Wow. Okay?
If I can have a beer, I'm in. I will even come to one of you.
So let's say it was someplace that was eating good in the neighborhood.
I mean, let's be honest, Lonzo. I'll show up anywhere there's a paycheck. We know that. There's a word for people like me that I'm not going to say on the radio. Starts with a W. All right? Ends with Nikola Jokic's favorite thing, but take the S out. That's what it is. You put a paycheck down, Rob Brown's showing up to work. Rob Brown likes to work.
Wow, that was creative.
I know. I was working through, my brain was spinning there. I'm like, how am I getting out of this one?
With your track record today, I'm sure you were probably concerned, but
you
got there. That was good.
Sometimes you just got to see one go down, all right? Sometimes you just got to see one go down.
You're out of the slump now, though. Let's do this.
Out of the slump. Full throttle, all afterburner, no break, let's go, YOLO, yeet, and all those other things. All right, let's start off with the NFC Championship game, the Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bum. I don't do that anymore.
You know, it's
they've earned it getting rid of that.
It's hard to believe some people have forgotten that that this game exists because they're too busy talking about the other game. But this is going to be an awesome game to watch.
You know, over the course of the show, I have made one thing kind of a hallmark of the show. You know, there's sayings and phrases and themes that stick around on this show for a long time. And they stick around on the show for a long time because I like them, I'm right about them, and it's my show. One of them is, America loves sports. We love sports. That's why we have to, that's why I have a job. That's why Lonzo was a job, because we love sports. You know what we love more than sports? And I mean this for the entire country. And yes, I am talking about every single one of you. Everyone. Me too. I'm not exempting myself here. Do you know what we love more than we love sports? Drama. We love drama. We love drama. Go look at everything that is inside of the top 100 most watched television shows. Even the shows that are news shows aren't news shows. They're opinion shows masquerading as news shows. All right? Every news show. Everything else is either sports or reality TV. Hell, even sitcoms. I like a good sitcom. I am watching right now, the lady friend and I have talked about it. I promise I'm coming to the NFC Championship game, but we have a point to make here based on what Lonzo just said, because I think it's interesting. The wife and I are watching Shrinking right now on Apple TV with
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I'm trying to, the other guy's name, Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. And a couple of other, Jessica Williams, who I am in love with. Phenomenal show. It is hilarious. But it is also a show that is filled with drama. I don't want to give away any spoiler alerts, but the show is, season one's like 2.5 years old now. So I kind of feel like I'm out of the window. So I'm gonna
borderline. This is a window you've created yourself. So I mean, correct. You can change whether the window is open or closed.
I respect other people like me who circle around to stuff way later. Suffice to say, Siegel's character, the antagonist, is going through a very traumatic experience involving his wife and trying to come out of that. And it has driven a wedge between he and his daughter, and it's heartbreaking, but also lovely to watch the development. Harrison Ford's character, who is the older owner of the psychology clinic that these characters all work at, is going through something, going through a relatively large health issue that is creating both a bond and bringing up old wounds with his grown daughter. In this, it's a wonderful series. It is genuinely one of the most laugh out loud television shows I've watched in a long time. The wife and I sit on the couch and we LOL, literally laugh out loud. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to go, this show's funny, I enjoyed the show, versus something that is so funny that it actually makes you while you're watching TV. The show makes me laugh out loud. But the reason it is so captivating is because it keeps finding itself in spots where there is like understandable real life drama involved in it that you can kind of put yourself in. We love drama. So why is everybody spending all their time, and Zoe is correct, we are so dialed and locked in on Chiefs Bills that Commanders Eagles, which to me is every bit as electric of a football game. Honestly, every bit as electric. And I'm not even talking about the drama. Could we have our first rookie QB go to the Super Bowl? Win the Super Bowl? Could we have Saquon Barkley, who got ditched by the Giants, went to a divisional rival, and is an MVP finalist, tote the rock and have the ultimate slap in the face to the G-Man?
Philly not far removed from being in two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Washington is like 70 years removed from being in a Super Bowl. This is, I don't know if it's been that long, but you get the point. This is every bit the electrifying football game, but we are, because America loves drama, we are locked in on Chiefs Bills. And obviously, with the narrative, whether you believe it, me, or don't, Zoe, the narrative...
By the way, the last time they won the Super Bowl was 1992.
Okay, so 33.
What's it trying to do math?
33 years. Yeah, I'm good at math. 33. You said 92? 02, 12, 22, plus 33 years. That's what I said. Nailed it. I'm good at this. Point here is, It's been a long time, okay? It's been a long time. And in having be a long time, there is drama in this. But we are more caught up in Chiefs-Bills. And the reason why is because there is drama in that game that impacts all of us. The Philly-Washington game impacts you dramatically if you are a Philly fan or a Washington fan. It impacts you directly if you are a Jaden Daniels fan, like maybe you've been utilizing a nationally syndicated radio program and a local radio program for like a year and a half to advocate and tell people that this kid is going to be the best rookie quarterback to come out of college football in a very long time, and you like to reiterate over and over and over and over and over and over that you're right. Making up a scenario, of course. Then it impacts you. But there is this, and I'm gonna drama this up for the sake of making the point that I'm making. There is a feeling right now amongst National Football League fans that we are living under the tyrannical dictatorship of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you don't have to like it, but just somebody who has the finger on the pulse of America, as I do. America is rooting for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. They just are. They're tired. It's Chiefs fatigue. We have this conversation every time that anybody strings together. We had it about Nikola Jokic after back-to-back MVP awards. We're like, is there Jokic? If there is a more likable dude in the NBA than Nikola Jokic, I don't know who it is. But yet, some people, rooting against Nikola Jokic only because he had won so much and we're like, oh, somebody else has got to win. No, they don't.
I'm going to dispute something you say, and I don't want to fight the rest of the day, but you're saying America, and you are wrong, because how many Taylor Swift fans are there? And that's an entire army of people who are on the Chiefs' side, and so that would mean that your numbers are skewed.
First off, you are right. Let me be clear. Second off, you're wrong. They're not on the Chiefs' side. They're on Travis Kelce's side.
Which is... Okay? You know,
now
being
he plays
on the
for the Chiefs.
Side. Exactly. But so they're Chiefs fans right now. All the Swiftie army are Chiefs fans.
I said last night.
You can make fun of them, you can dispute them, but they are watching football and they are rooting for the Chiefs.
The lady friend and I were running some errands last night. We had to go out and pick some stuff up kind of late night. It was like 8 o'clock, but we had to go out and get some stuff for the crib. And we're driving around, and we were listening to the BetQL Network, and Brad and Ryan were talking about the game, and one of them said something. I don't remember what it was, but they were like, Jaden Daniels. Oh, and one of them said, that's Rob Brown's guy. And I was like, yeah, go Commanders. And she's like, no, we're going for the Chiefs. I was like, no, we're not. We're going for the Commanders. She's like, no, we're going for the Chiefs. Do you understand? Like, because she's a Swiftie. She is all in. So you're right. It's dividing my own household right now. I get it. You're not wrong. But the football fans of America, by and large, not entirely, by and large, are anti-Chief. We love drama.
Let me say for you and say it the way you would say it, happy spouse.
Happy house. No, we fought. We fought. 100%. We fought. I'm not, there are lines in the sand. This is one.
It's good to know that, as usual, you're surrounded and you're an island.
Oh, yeah. No, I leave here with a Chiefs fan and I go home to a Chiefs fan. Like, it's not a Chiefs fan, a Taylor Swift, therefore Travis Kelce fan.
That's fine. That's fine.
She owns zero Chiefs gear. If she's listening right now, she will by the end of the day, which is painful. But she also has a Spencer Rattler jersey hanging on her closet door right now. So, like,
you can be.
I'll call it a tie.
You can be fans of both teams.
I'll call it a tie.
It's perfectly all right.
The point is we are all in for the drama, and the drama is, will the tyrannical dictatorship of the Kansas City Chiefs come to its conclusion?
Notice he never talked about the game that he ended
up. Well, I was trying to, but then we got to this stuff instead, and you brought up Taylor Swift, and that's... We'll talk about the game when we come back. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. So we were talking in the last segment. We opened with talking NFC Championship game, but then Lonzo had a point, and I thought it was good, and I wanted to get to it. We love some drama. And the drama behind the AFC Championship game. That is the Kansas City Chiefs and the national narrative, whether you like it or not, the national narrative is the Chiefs have been protected, or at least Patrick Mahomes has been protected. And so there's been all this conversation about, is this the year? Now, there is one very interesting point that's been popped up that I think is somewhat important to talk about.
Are you going to talk about the fact that Josh Allen has had more roughing the passer calls in his favor than Patrick Mahomes has?
I am not going to talk about that because it would disrupt the narrative. No, that is not why. I will absolutely talk about it because context always matters. This is like something that came up yesterday. One of the things that I point out is that if you want to take that into consideration, the next thing I need you to look at is time spent in the pocket. Patrick Mahomes regularly has the ball out faster. Why? Because historically, Patrick Mahomes has had better weaponry around him to work with. Historically, not every year.
Okay, but numbers-wise, which you swear by, Josh Allen, I think that's his name, has had more roughing the passer calls in favor than Patrick Mahomes.
I understand.
Has.
You just said that, and I addressed it by saying I would rather put that into a conversation because numbers matter. All the numbers matter. The fact that Josh Allen has historically had less time before he is under pressure, less time before he is hit, he's going to get more. He's going to have a higher quantity.
Sounds like an excuse to me. But I'm guessing probably, I haven't looked, but I would guess that Josh Allen has more rushing yards than Patrick
Mahomes. Oh, without
Mahomes,
a doubt.
Which would imply that he's out of the pocket more than
because he has less time to throw the football. That's where roughing the passer calls come from.
Excuse me, Buffalo has a better offensive line than Kansas City.
Because
Kansas City, it's been a mash unit all year long. They had to take their all-star, all-pro guard, Tooney, and move him to tackle. Their line has been in disarray. Has Buffalo's line been in disarray all year? Because I haven't heard anything about it.
No.
That would be negative towards Buffalo, though, so they probably wouldn't say that.
Well, again, let me check the group text later to find out what our thoughts on that are. I want to get to the NFC Championship game. Because I do agree with apparently and precisely one thing Lonzo has said so far in this hour of the show. And that is, nobody's paying attention to the NFC Championship game.
You've already disputed yourself because you agree with me about the Swifties. That would be two things that you've agreed with me on.
Two things I've agreed with Lonzo on. One of them is that, yes, there is a large army of Swifties who are absolutely team Chiefs. Not football fans, but Swifties. Doesn't matter why they're there, but
going to be a stadium full and, you know. And
I don't think there's a lot of Swifties dropping.
No, what I'm saying is those people, I believe, are Americans also. And you said America was. So I'm just disputing your okay. All of America is against the Chiefs.
So
it's not.
Regardless of how we got to where we got, the national narrative is that America is into this either because.
Can we talk about Saquon Barkley? Why are we not talking about Saquon
I'm
Barkley?
Getting there. I'm 100% getting there. Regardless of the reason, a solid chunk of America is in this to watch the Chiefs lose and the dictatorship come to an end, and a solid chunk of America is in it to watch the three-peat, either because they want to see the Chiefs three-peat or they want to see Travis Kelce three-peat, regardless of why they're there. Everyone's paying attention to the AFC Championship game, and to me, the NFC Championship game is every bit as excellent. I do think, and I'm glad to say it, I do think we have a pair of kick-ass championship games this weekend. I am beyond stoked about the Washington Commanders making their way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to take on the two-seeded Eagles. And I'm excited for a lot of different reasons. We've hit on a few of them already. We have talked about Jaden Daniels, a rookie quarterback coming out of LSU. Rob Brown's bet to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. You're welcome. We have talked about the fact, and my favorite thing is, I am genuinely hoping it won't, because people that are where they are as owners don't ordinarily learn lessons and evolve when it comes to this aspect of the game. But I am hoping that some NFL teams, Gale Benson, are going to look
Chiefs
at what's happening.
Chiefs pretty good. Philly's ownership, I think, pretty good. Buffalo's ownership. Pretty good.
100%. I think at this point, you could make the argument that a good, knowledgeable, invested owner that does not go hands-on is, I would be willing to say now, as important as a good head coach. Honestly, I believe that. I don't think, because look at how many good head coaches were with bad programs, bad franchises, bad ownership, move on to a program that lets them be a good head coach, and all of a sudden, they're gangsters. All of a sudden, they're G's, right? So, looking at the NFC Championship game, there's all the dramatic reasons to be very invested, but this is a sports talk radio show, and we do talk ball. So let's talk a little bit of ball, because I think this is a game that's got every opportunity to be a great game. I am looking at, for instance, one thing that I think it is important to point out. The Washington Commanders in the regular season had a run defense that was hovering around 28th in the league. Bounced up and down anywhere from like 25 to 30 throughout the course of the year. Hovering around 28th in the league in total rush defense. And who were they going up against? The only NFL MVP guy who's not a quarterback. Running back Saquon Barkley, who has been not just a stud, but remember, a stud that was 101 yards away from setting the single season rushing yardage record. Now, it is obviously important to point out that Saquon Barkley did that in 16 games. Eric Dickerson did it in less. So for the old hats that are pushing off on the Eric Dickerson narrative, you're right. You're right. He had a lot less games to do it.
And I've also heard that, you know, Dickerson did it and had more games to do it than the previous guy who held the record, who I think might have been O.J. Simpson.
That is also correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to change as the NFL adds more games, including probably next year.
Yep. We are going to 18. That is an inevitability. It will be worked into the next CBA agreement. Saquon Barkley has been an absolute dog. And I've said a couple of times, I saw yesterday a narrative about Jalen Hurts. And I even went so far as to repeat it. I think to some degree, the Eagles have had to coach around Jalen Hurts' pass. Because he's been pretty average throwing the football, right? Pretty average. But I also think it is important, because again, nuance and conversation matters to me. I think it's also important to look at the situation and go, when I have Saquon Barkley back there having an all-time year, a year that we will talk about for a very long time, I am not going to overcomplicate the pass game. I am going to keep the pass game as a run game supplement. Run the damn ball. I am going to keep the pass game as a run game supplement. And I know that it has been frustrating to A.J. Brown. That's why my guy is meditating and reading self-help books on the sideline. Because he's frustrated. That book is probably the thing that kept Jalen Hurts from getting punched in the nose at some point this season by A.J. Brown for not getting him the football. Fine. But this is a spot where you find yourself in a spot if you're the Eagles. Because on one hand, yeah, what I don't want to do is get to the end of the year and have A.J. Brown, who has been a massive part of this team, because even when he's not getting the ball, you still have to lock that dude down. Because if the Eagles notice you're not locking him down, then he is going to get the ball. You got to go to that guy and go, look, dude. Like, what you're doing right now, I understand you're not getting the numbers you want, the catches you want, and that is frustrating. People go, oh, why are you being selfish? It's for the team, right? Well, the answer is because numbers on a stat sheet are how these guys get paid, right? You turn in a great season, you get more money for it the next time you up your contract. That's how the game works. So, of course, A.J. Brown's upset when he's a guy that could threaten 1,000-yard seasons that he's going to hover at, like, 750 or whatever it is. I think that, however, that is scripted by the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that is the point of the offense by the Philadelphia Eagles. The issue with the Eagles is, how do we run a passing game to maximize the talent of Jalen Hurts, who is a good but not great passer, while also keeping the focus on Saquon Barkley and who and what Saquon Barkley is and is doing this year. And I think the Eagles have found that balance. And the problem for a Commanders team that I very much like is that their run defense has been meh. It's been okay. Not good, not great. It's been okay. And if it's been okay, where does that leave this team against Saquon Barkley? I have to point something out. I have to point out that when the Commanders went to Detroit Rock City to take on the one seed, by the way, and we talked about it. I talked about it with Kane a couple of times. I've talked about it with some of my buddies that are Lions fans around America. This was a banged up defense, and they lost another starting defensive back in this game against the Commanders. But it was also the healthiest the Detroit defense has been in some time. The Commanders went and hung 45 on them. They can score. And by the way, no defense in the league better than Detroit at home. They dominated at home. Even banged up, they dominated at home. Yet Jaden Daniels went and put 299 and a pair of tutties on them, and the Commanders run for a buck 82. The Commanders' run defense is why the Eagles' run game versus the Commanders' run defense is why most of America is riding with Philly. I'm riding with the Commanders one more time. I may get burned at some point, but in this game, I am going to select the Commanders one more time, and I'll tell you why. I don't think that Jahmyr Gibbs is as good as Saquon Barkley. I don't think that David Montgomery is as good as Saquon Barkley. I think he's better than both of those guys, but Detroit had the single most, without question, fearsome dynamic duo out of the backfield of any team in the National Football League with Gibbs and Montgomery. And yes, I know Montgomery was banged up and missed time towards the end of the season, and this was his first game back, and it was going to take some time.
You need to take into account that Saquon Barkley came to this team to go to the Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. His career is winding down as he gets older. It's going to hit him as it does all running backs. Saquon Barkley is going to put this team on his back and make it to the Super Bowl. He single-handedly will beat Washington.
I don't know that I can go that far. And here's the reason. The Commanders went up and I will acknowledge they gave up 201 rushing yards to the Detroit Lions. 200, that's a lot of rushing yards, all right? That's why they were, again, hovered around 28th, 29th in the league in terms of rushing defense. They did give up 313 passing yards to Jared Goff. They also picked him off three times. That's the aspect of this game that nobody is talking about. Jared Goff is an MVP finalist. I would make the argument, I don't think it's an argument, I would state the fact that this year, Jared Goff has, empirically, objectively, been a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts has been. And he's had the most dynamic, maybe not the most dynamic running back in the game, that is Saquon Barkley. But they had the most dynamic pair of running backs in the NFL throughout the year in Gibbs and Montgomery. And Washington played one of the most bend but don't break, just be consistent until the quarterback makes a mistake and pounce. Jared Goff, who is an MVP finalist, made multiple mistakes in that game. Why? Because Washington throws different looks at you because they've got the defensive backs to match it up. Marshawn Lattimore locks on to A.J. Brown. I'm not going to say removes him, but locks on to him, right? You take him away from that, I can now dial in on Jalen Hurts. Saquon gets 200, Saquon gets 200. If Saquon pops it, the Lions scored three times on the ground. Commanders still won. If he gets his, he gets his. I am making Jalen Hurts beat me because I don't think he can. And if I can get Jaden Daniels, who has been absolutely clutch in these playoffs, he was clutch at Tampa Bay, he was clutch at Detroit. If I can get him in a battle that comes down to these two quarterbacks late in the game, I'm going to take him to beat Jared Goff. I'm going to take him to beat Baker Mayfield, and I'll take him to beat Jalen Hurts. I'm rolling the dice. Commanders win by a field goal walk-off. Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know if you wanted to throw your score on there at the end.
I was going to once the music started, but I can do it before then because we're really...
I'll tell you what, let's see. Is Lonzo say his score before or after the Sports Flash music?
Philadelphia wins by a touchdown. The Jacksonville Jaguars have found their next head coach, Liam Cohn, who is the former offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He signed on with the Jags. Cohen had pulled himself from the job just days earlier and agreed to an extension with the Bucs, but changed his mind after the Jags fired general manager Trent Baalke. Cohen allegedly ignored multiple calls from the Bucs until the announcement that he had taken the Jacksonville job, that is. The Atlanta Braves have added their first big-time free agent of the offseason with the acquisition of former Padres outfielder Jurickson Profar on a 3-year, $42 million deal. Tune in tomorrow, 4 p.m., as Furman Paladins take on the Mercer Bears. It's Furman versus Mercer right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's us. It is here. It is the Fan Upstate. Philadelphia is going to win. You'll see.